And so we conclude the show today with a little fun, or at least a little off-topic, red herring, a slight distraction, a little bit of Twilight Zone mixed with Coast to Coast, mixed with we're just kind of interested in people with different opinions. And that's what brings us to Billy Hollowell. He is a journalist, and he is an author of the recent book, Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism, and Ghosts. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But our booker, Brad Gloria, is constantly mining Twitter for perspectives that are put up by people that are a little bit different, a little bit unique, or in some way or another catch our attention. And he found one about how disagreeing doesn't mean hating. You know, you can disagree with someone without hating. And in fact, the tweet that caught his attention, and he sent it to me, and I said, yeah, let's talk to him, went like this. Someone isn't hateful simply because he or she disagrees with you. Hate is a strong word, and perhaps one of the most misused words of our time. I'm passionate about our need to get back to using the right words in their correct context. We keep abusing words to fit our whims. Who is doing that and why, Billy?
Oh, boy. You know, I think a lot of us do it. I think we tend to see a lot of people right now, I think, on the progressive side of things doing that. And, you know, it's really easy to kind of go after people and say, listen, you know, you don't agree with me, so I'm going to say you're being hateful, right? Because it's sort of a way of shutting people down. If you can shut people down and shut them up, then they're not going to bother you anymore. They're not going to come after what you think or believe or who you are. And so I think we see a lot of this happening, and it's unfortunate because the reality is most people don't hate other people on the other side of whatever the issue is, right? You disagree. You have firm disagreement, and you carry on. And I feel like we used to have this art of disagreement down. And, of course, this has ebbed and flowed, but most people could survive and say, hey, you know what, I don't agree with that person, but we can be friends. But a lot of that has been eroded, and I think we're raising a generation of young people who just can't cope with people having different viewpoints. And there's a real danger there.
I have two sons, 13 and 14 years old, and we have come to learn over the years that if they don't get activity during the day, they're going to argue more, they're going to be cranky, they're not going to get along with each other or us, they're not going to sleep as well, which is also true of our dog, by the way. And I think there are parallels to that in society. If we don't have a means by which you and I or anyone else can disagree and do so in an honest, open manner, if we call everything hate that we don't like, then we don't change people's opinions or their desire to disagree and attempt to convince someone, persuade someone. We just make them angry. So that by labeling things as hate and silencing people, in fact, destroying careers over it, I think that what we're doing is actually it's manifesting itself in real hate. And that's far more pernicious.
Absolutely, and it's manifesting itself in fear. And here's the fascinating thing to me. If your end goal in life is to prevent somebody like Donald Trump from becoming president, and if people, many on the left, view him as dangerous, I'm not saying he is, this is the view that they have, they don't want to see somebody like that be elected. Well, the reality is, when people feel pressed, when they feel unheard, when they feel like, oh my gosh, they keep calling me hateful, they keep calling me a bigot, they keep calling me all these things, I'm going to silently support that person who's open to my free speech. That is how this happens, and it's fascinating to have watched it happen in 2016, and so many people who really just wanted to stand by the First Amendment and their rights, you know, they silently supported Trump. And so if that's your end goal, maybe stop doing the things that make people feel like they have no other option, right? And also have good policies, but that's another discussion. I just think that when you push people up against a wall, there's a real danger to that. But I think it's also just lazy. I mean, it's the ultimate laziness to go after people and to call them hateful when they simply disagree with you. And this happens a lot on the marriage issue. It happens a lot on the gender issues. At the end of the day, these are sincerely held disagreements that people have, And you would do a lot more, to your point, to sit down and try to understand why somebody thinks something different, not because you need to, you know, fold or because you need to agree with the other side, but because it actually helps refine your own viewpoints when you get a chance to hear what people believe. But the tactic they've taken is shut people down, don't let them speak, don't let them communicate, and hope that they'll go away. And people don't go away. They look for people who are going to ensure that they have the right to speak out.
You're exactly right. The quote is attributed to Voltaire: "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." But it was actually Evelyn Beatrice Hall who wrote it about Voltaire, that was a description of his positions. But I guess it doesn't matter, because the point is that there was a time where we defended to the death someone's right to say that with which we disagree. I would be remiss if I didn't spend at least 3 minutes with you, Billy, on this book, Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcisms, and Ghosts. You have 3 minutes to tell me what in the heck you found out and why you wrote this. And I'm not even going to interrupt you. Go.
Told me like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, hey, you're going to write a book about demons, you know, from a journalistic Christian perspective, I would have probably laughed at you. But I have a history of taking on tough issues, and I'm a lifelong Christian, so this stuff is not foreign to me, this topic of possession and demons. But it really, there's so many reasons why I dove into it. The real reason really was that I felt like I was supposed to do it. I mean, I was looking for a book project. I was working on politics, looking to do something political. And this idea has, consistently come in front of me when I worked at The Blaze as a journalist, when I worked at Faithwire. Many stories would come across my desk of people who had claimed to have these sorts of experiences. And it's a weird topic. I know a lot of people don't believe that it's true, or they're really uncertain. They don't really know how to approach it. And so I wanted to write a book that would really help people understand through a Christian lens, okay, what are demons? What does the Bible tell us? What is evil? Right? I mean, even that basic question, like who is Satan? What is evil? How does it manifest itself? And so the investigation that I go in and Playing with Fire is really looking at people's stories and exploring, okay, you're telling me you've gone through this thing. Let's look at it. Let's talk to witnesses. Let's talk to those who have been attached to the story in some way. One of the stories I tell in the book is The Exorcist, the real-life story at the center of the film and the book. A lot of people don't realize it was based on a little boy's story, and it's really interesting. So I go into that. I talk about Ouija boards. I go into scripture, and I have to tell you, what was really fascinating to me was the peace that writing this book actually brought, which I know sounds strange, into my own life. Just as a Christian, you know, I think understanding evil is a really important thing. We're watching evil manifest itself all over the world right now, particularly even in this country, the way that people are behaving, the things that are happening. And so then connecting that, okay, is there something going on that we can understand through a Christian lens? But this is a book for anybody. I mean, at the end of the day, my goal was to look at everything, provide the evidence, and let people make a decision for themselves, right? Do you believe this stuff is real, and do you believe these people's stories that I'm telling, and there's a few really interesting stories in the book, are true?
Have you been invited on Coast to Coast or not?
I have not. I would love
but
to
you're
go on
gonna
Coast
be.
To Coast. I don't know.
I'm
going
to pass that
me.
Along to their folks, because that's a division of the company that I work for by day. I'm going to pass it along. The book is Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism, and Ghosts. He's Billy Holloway. You're a great guest. Come back and see us, Billy.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.